You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! How about that? You know what's the funniest thing? I haven't thought about the restaurant chain Reuben's in at least 30 years until Chris mentioned it right there. And on top of that, I have a Reuben's story that we can get into. Do you remember Reuben's? Do you remember that being
no.
a thing?
No. Was that just here in L.A. or was that everywhere?
I'm not sure. They were here in L.A. for sure. They were kind of – what it basically was, to just kind of give you an idea for maybe people that don't remember or don't know – it was like Coco's, the coffee shop, you know, only it had kind of a nightclubby vibe to it. It was like Reuben's, or it was like Coco's, but it also like had a dance floor and music and a bar. It was kind of an interesting idea.
What a weird thing that didn't survive.
Hey, you want
to
go get like...
Every time I go to Coco's, one of the things I always say to myself is... if they only had a dance floor and some strobe lights.
And go to meet somebody. You know, you could get two eggs over easy, bacon, and go meet your soulmate. You know, and dance a little bit. It was a perfect place to go.
Where'd you guys meet? We met at Coco's. Yeah.
Not Coco's. It was the Reuben's side of, and more often than not, they were literally right next to each other, and there was a hallway maybe I'm just projecting this because this is the one in Arcadia that I grew up near. There, the Coco's was like here, right, and then the Reuben's was right next to it, and there was this creepy hallway that connected the two. It was very, very strange. Here's a quick story. I had no intention of telling this, but thank you, Chris, for reminding me. We had this weird, weird substitute teacher in high school.
Okay.
Named Mr. Dietrich. And he was kind of like the regular, he would fill in everybody's class. So if anybody's out, Mr. Dietrich was always on campus. And he was kind of like a holdover from the 70s. He had like the 70s hair and the 70s vibe, and just everything about him was very 70s oriented. And it's the 80s, so it's not super weird, but a little weird. And he's just holding court in class one day, never getting anything done. And somebody says to him, "Hey, Mr. Dietrich, like, what do you like to do when you're not teaching?" He nods his head a little bit, and he says, "Me? I like to go to Reuben's." I've always pictured Reuben's as a place full of nothing but creepy substitute teachers from Arcadia in the 1980s. So that's the Reuben story for the day.
There's some office space available somewhere in Southern California. There's a resurgence of Reuben's.
Yeah, hey, look, it's an idea that was maybe a little before its time. I think we bring it back. The Coco's with a nightclub. Let's make it happen. How was your weekend, Al?
Weekend was good. Weekend was good. I mentioned this when we were chatting, and it's kind of the funny thing. I'm trying to watch the Olympics. Like, I really am. Like, I'm kind of finding myself. By the way, I'm not even forcing myself to. It's like, okay, hey, let's see what's going on. There's a little bit of interest in the beginning, trying to figure out, is there an event that's going to catch me? So I did a little bit of that this weekend. Not that much caught me. Got to be honest with you.
You don't have to convince me.
I think I saw.
I believe you.
What did I see? You know, obviously NBC is holding it. Mm-hmm. I think it was down. It's a 33-year low, and I want to say that was after the opening night in viewership for the Olympics. Does it kind of? I don't know about you, but it kind of feels that way. Maybe this has to do. This is kind of similar to this. Just look at last season. The Lakers win the Orlando
the bubble.
Playoff, the bubble, all that stuff. NBA Finals were the ratings were awful, and there's a reason why it was, and there's a lot of things to point at. Trav, I think it kind of still falls along the same lines of fans being there, and there's not
for
that
sure.
much energy. I mean, I think that has something to do with it as well.
It's going to be hard to get people fired up for fencing and taekwondo and canoe slalom. If there aren't people there that seem excited about it, if it's done in a vacuum, it's not. And to your point, it's hard to not watch the Olympics right now because they're on like 11 different channels. You turn on your TV and you're going to hit some badminton. It's impossible. You're going to see some table tennis. It's impossible not to run into this stuff. But, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit. I had had an interesting moment, Al. You ready?
What do you got?
So Susan and I went to a party on Saturday. It was friends of hers were celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary, and they had this beautiful party in their backyard, live music and nice wines. It was just it was a really, really nice party. And there was a taco guy. So I see the guy setting up beforehand, and I said to him, I went over and said, "Hey, this looks great. You know, nobody's eating yet. We're just getting set." I said, "Huh? So, how long are you guys planning on being here tonight?"
So wait, just so I see. Taco guy is there.
Uh huh. Getting set up.
You're getting set up, and yeah. You have a side conversation with the taco guy?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So you leave. You leave your wife.
Yeah.
You leave the friends.
Well,
you leave all that.
Well, I didn't have to leave very because she this was her party, right? This is her group of friends. I literally think I knew two or three people at this whole party, and there had to be 100 people there.
Completely understand. But I just want to kind of get it right because that's never kind of dawned in my mind that I'm at an event or a party, and it's not like the food is being served and you're in line and that you have a side conversation behind the truck or something along those lines. It almost kind of sounds a little shady. That you're having.
No, I mean, we did it off to the side. It wasn't right out in front of everybody. I just went over and just said, "Hey, I know you guys are just getting set up, but I'm just kind of curious. How long?
What's
you guys
the holdup? What's the holdup?"
No, I'm because look, this is strategic. I need to know how much to put on that first plate because if this is a one-time through the batting order situation, I'm going to need to make
you're
sure
swinging.
That I get
yeah,
enough
you're swinging
guys
for the fences.
On base.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to look. I sent you the picture, right?
I'm looking at it as we speak.
And it was great. They had the rice, and the beans, and the salsas, and the pickled carrots, and the jalapeno. It was wonderful. But the guy said, "Oh, no, we're going to be here," I think he said, "until 8 or something like that." I said, "Great." Now look at my watch. It's like 5:45. I'm like, "Oh, this is going to go perfect. This
did
is
you,
going to be."
Did you trust them after your last incident?
Well, I said to him, I said, so 8, like you're still here at 8 serving or you're down the road, you're peeling out at 8? And he said, no, we'll still have some food at 8. I said, perfect. So I got through the line like 2.5 times, and it was cool. It was a great way to kick off the weekend with a taco guy on a Saturday night.
I almost feel like I wonder what he's thinking in his mind. Like, who's this dude coming to me pregame?
He was the boss. I thought that guy was the boss.
Why are you coming to me pregame? Let me do my thing, and doors will open at a certain time. And the fact that you got to ask, I'm curious if he thought in his head either you're an absolute vet in the game or, hey, just go freaking enjoy the party. When this opens, it will open.
I think it's probably more the second thing than anything else. But let me ask you this. You and I have worked together now for a few months, and I think you're probably starting to get an idea of my deals is the way that I'm getting a sense of your deals. Mm-hmm. Of all the things you could say about me, I don't think the one thing that anybody could ever accuse me of is being unprepared. You can not like me. You can think that I'm stupid. You can do all these things. But I come prepared every single day. That includes attending parties with taco guys. I like to be prepared. I like to make sure that everything that I'm going to need is in its place before I need it.
There's a lot of listeners that moving forward might have a side conversation with the taco guy before anything even comes out. You kind of have a layout there. So then you know, okay, I get X amount of cracks at the bat here. It's never gone through my mind that I got to have that conversation with that person before anything starts. But I get the game plan.
Now you know. Travis and Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. So when we were here on Friday, Al, we were coming off of Thursday night where Kenley Jansen had blown his third consecutive save, had looked really bad doing it. We had talked about Dave Roberts putting him back out there. The Dodgers then subsequently went out there and blew another one on Friday night. Only Kenley didn't have anything to do with it. Everyone else did. I didn't even put that one on the bullpen. That one was more on the offense. Dodgers had the bases loaded, nobody out, with the score tied at 6-6 in the ninth inning and didn't score. That was on the offense.
And ended up after Turner walked striking out the side.
Yeah, it was terrible. Just a terrible series of at bats right there.
Yep.
Kenley gets the save on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty routine. He did walk one guy along the way, but whatever. And then yesterday, Joe Kelly gets the save. Joe Kelly pitches the ninth inning, kind of twists his ankle in the process, but gets through it. Dodgers win 2 out of 3. They take the lead from 3 games down to 2. Off day today. San Francisco coming up tomorrow for another 3-game set, but I don't feel that much better about them today than I did going into the weekend because the Rockies are lousy and they had to fight tooth and nail to win the two games that they did win.
I think it was impossible, even if they came out and blew out the Rockies in three straight games, to really feel that much different because of the competition, Trav. Like, it's one thing, even Kenley getting that save on Saturday, nobody's walking away right now saying, oh, feel a lot better about Kenley. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. So that wasn't going to happen against the Rockies. But what you did want to see is just get W's any way you can. It's not like it's been pretty. A couple of the games that you did win, two of the three, obviously you get two or three from the Rockies. They're not blowouts. So nothing's going to happen against the Rockies where you're going to feel different. Now you got this three-game set coming up against the Giants. But I think, you know, the bigger question, Trav, is Friday is the trade deadline for baseball. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think you could kind of weigh this two ways. You can say that the Dodgers have to go make a move. It's a necessity. It's not a luxury. What would they be thinking if they don't go out and try to go get a closer, another starting pitcher, something along those lines? Or you can make the case that they are best set up in the NL West. They just got to have all their guys. They just got to be healthy. They just got to have all their players available. And I would be surprised, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe you agree with this or not, but I'd be surprised if we're sitting here a week from now and they didn't add pieces to what they already have, knowing that we'll hopefully eventually be healthy as well as the season progresses.
I don't know if this means anything, but it might mean something. And what I'm talking about is when you hear all the rumors, this player is thought to be going here, right? You're hearing Craig Kimbrel may go to Philadelphia, or Chris Bryant may go to the Mets. You're hearing players, specific players mentioned to specific teams. Sometimes those things come through, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. But you're really not hearing too much about the Dodgers at all. It doesn't mean that they won't do anything, but it doesn't mean that at least they've been so aggressive out there that, you know, these reporters have sources. They talk to general managers and agents and the players and everyone else. So you would think that there would be some noise about them sniffing around if they were really, really out there aggressively and it's not coming in. But I think you're right. Here's the best acquisition that they're going to make isn't going out and getting Kimbrel or Scherzer, which would be great pickups, but it's getting Corey Seager back. It's getting Mookie Betts back. Mm-hmm. It's getting Cody Bellinger on track that looks something like that MVP player from a couple of years ago and not a guy that's struggling to bat a .150. It's getting a MVP and Cy Young Award winner back in Clayton Kershaw and not having to go out and find, you know, Jose Berrios from the Twins, who's a good pitcher. But just if nothing else, if you just got all of your own guys back to come through this, that's better than any trade that's out there. That's better than going out there and trying to find a guy that can pitch the eighth inning or a guy that might be able to bridge you from the sixth to the seventh. These are all-star players that are already on your team. They're just not here.
But I think, Trav, doesn't that then make you say they already got these players? It's a matter of just when they come back. So then don't you then go out and get – I'm use this as an example. Sometimes it works both ways. If you went out and got – and this is kind of the cream of the crop. Let's say Scherzer becomes available. Nationals are really not in the mix. Let's say Scherzer becomes available. It's not just getting Scherzer, but it's making sure also that the Padres didn't get Scherzer or the Giants didn't get Scherzer. I think that has something to do with it. Plus, you know, let's kind of say it how it is. 2 months ago, you were looking at this Dodgers squad a lot differently. I don't think anybody expects Trevor Bauer to come back. I mean, I think that would be a shock if at this point it would be much more of a surprise to have Trevor Bauer back than to not have him back. I think that's what's more expected now. Well, there's another Cy Young Award winner that you're expecting not to come back, and that has nothing to do with injuries. I'm just talking, obviously, about the baseball front
here. Sure.
So keeping that in mind with the Dodgers, it's like they have this luxury that if they just bring their guys back, they could still win the NL West and still go make a run at a World Series. I think the Giants and the Padres don't really feel that. Yes, you have a shot. But the Dodgers or the Padres and the Giants, you feel that you have to go make a move to really be on that level with the Dodgers if everybody comes back. Dodgers are already coming off a World Series. I don't want to say it's icing on the cake for the Dodgers, but man, if you go out and get one of these big pieces, you're also now all of a sudden grabbing a piece that could have went to one of your division, you know, one of these other NL West opponents.
All right, I'm already seeing some phone calls come in. 877-710-ESPN. We'll take your Dodger phone calls as well. Plus, there is a silver lining to this. There's a whole bunch of good stuff that's going on that's kind of in the background. We'll tell you what that is next. It's Travis and Slee. It's 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It was a vest. It was a red vest, and I had a name tag that had my name on it, and then a little plastic hammer that would attach to it, letting you know I was in the hand tool department.
I could see you leaving that department. Like, somebody asks you, hey, do you know where the women's area is? Let me walk you over there. And you go over there, and you start helping them with the shoes there, too. Like, I could see you being one, kind of have your hands on everything. Executives at Sears saying, this guy.
He's a go-getter. I can show you a shop vac, and I can get you into a nice Yvonne Goolagong dress. I remember, so, you know, I'm a sports guy, right? And even from the time I was a little kid, I'm a sports fan. Mm-hmm. And I remember they had this display, because when I worked in the men's department, you know, it's here. And then right across the aisle is the women's department. And they had all this active wear, right, for active ladies. Mm-hmm. And it was this entire line of Yvonne Goolagong active wear. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, neither did I. So, no. Okay. But I didn't know who that was either. And I remember saying, like, who in the world is Yvonne? Apparently, she was a famous Australian tennis player that had her own clothing line at Sears. So, you want a shop vac? I got you covered. You want Yvonne Goolagong leisure wear slacks? I've got you covered. Whatever you
need. I hope nothing more that Sears is listening and comes in and says, we got to have Trav do live endorsements for us. We have to.
Why not?
Live broadcast from Sears.
Real quick, speaking of, flipped on the Olympics right now. Who do you have in the Korea Taipei archery event? Because it's on right now.
Korea is one of, if not top three teams in the country in archery. Little disappointing, their last run in 2016. So I think there's an incredible amount of motivation to come back this year. So I have Korea.
Well, then you're going to be very disappointed because Taipei is putting it on them right now. So it's bad news for you. There is table tennis right around the corner, so we'll keep you up to speed.
Do this throughout the Olympics. Just throw me something and give me a little bit of ammo info, and I'll take it from there.
Perfect. Well, your next event is table tennis. I did.
Okay.
Did you watch any? First of all, how long do you have to watch before you stop calling it ping pong and start calling it table tennis?
It's always ping pong to me. You know, can I tell you a quick funny ping pong story? And I know we got Dodger calls that are like, hey, Al, hurry up with your ping pong story. So I used to work at a rec center, right? So worked at a rec center 4 or 5 years, something along those lines, during high school, part of college. I think I became like a ping pong hustler. And then
one time
we had a Christmas event at we did it at the Standard in downtown. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know how long ago that was. Maybe 7 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do a little ping pong tournament. What are we doing here? Is this amateur hour?
Just cleaned
house.
Clock.
Yeah, cleaned house. Everybody stand over to the side there, okay?
Who wants this?
King, you best not miss.
Who wants a piece of me on the table? Come on, let's go. Well, I'll keep you up to speed. I did see we had a kid, 17 years old, going to Cal, who crushed a guy from Mongolia and then got rolled up by a guy from, I believe it was Norway. So the Norwegians in table tennis, it goes together like peanut butter and jelly.
Isn't that kind of funny that you'll watch an event for 5 minutes and all of a sudden in your head you kind of start, they didn't
Bad
do that.
Shot.
Exactly. You just all
What's
of a sudden.
What's he doing?
You've never watched this event in your life, and then 5 minutes into watching, you're now starting to analyze it. You're starting to say, "What is this guy doing? Is this really? Were you really ready for the Olympics?"
That's how I felt watching Taekwondo yesterday. Terrible move. Terrible move. You can't do that. Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Huntington Beach and Paul. Paul, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Paul?
Hey, man. So good to talk to you. It's been a while, Travis and Slee. Listen, I think that at the end of the day, the Dodgers just have been disjointed all year long, and this regime has made big splashes at the trade deadline seemingly year after year. I don't think there's ever been a year it's ever been needed more. Yes, all the guys come back and this team is loaded. But I saw some crazy stat, like Bellinger's hitting 230 over the last 160 games he's played. I mean, at the end of the day, that becomes who you are. Yeah. You are a 230 hitter if that's who you are. And Seager, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about Seager, except that it's been a long time since he's been rolling. I mean, long time, last October. And coming back from injuries, this is like a thing with him. And Kershaw, man, Travis, I've called you and been a Kershaw apologist for many years. And I love the guy, first ballot, all that good stuff. He's basically a number three guy at this point in the rotation, in this rotation. The Dodgers need to make a splash, or they're not getting back to the World Series, it seems. By the way, table tennis is awesome, but I'm looking forward to see Soch lead Team USA in baseball, man. Soch is going to get it done. All right, see you guys.
I hope so. I hope that he does. I like Mike Soch a lot, and hopefully that we show up for that more than we showed up for basketball so far. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Let's kind of go through this point by point. I don't agree with the Kershaw point, Slee. I think that he's a three on this team. I don't think he's a three on most teams. I still think that Clayton Kershaw is a high-level starting pitcher, and maybe he's not touching 95, 96 on the radar gun like he used to, but his experience, his intellect, and his ability to know how to pitch, I think, will lead him through that. The piece that he mentioned the most is the Cody Bellinger piece, because he's right. This is not he's on the IL for a while, and he's working his way back into it. That's partially true. He was bad last year. If not for a big home run in the postseason and a big catch in the postseason, it would have been a disastrous year for him. Let's go back to the year before that when he won the MVP. The first two-thirds of that season were otherworldly. He was fantastic. Since then, the last third of his MVP season, all of the abbreviated 2020 season, and all of this season, he not only has not been that MVP guy, he is significantly below major league average. Significantly below major league average. So I think that is the biggest piece of all, because he's one of the few guys that's here, and he's not performing at all. And I don't know if you send him down, drop him in the order, put him back on the IL to try to tinker with his swing some more. I got no answers for you, Al.
Well, this is something I think this is going to kind of lead to part of the conversation we're having about the trade deadline. We'll throw this out to Dodger fans out there. If the Dodgers do not make a move by the trade deadline, do you still feel good? Do you still feel comfortable? Is the conversation, hey, we just have to be healthy, and if the Dodgers are healthy, they'll be fine. They got, you know, obviously MVP caliber players that are not there right now. Just get them back. Or if they don't make a move, you got some serious concern. Trav, I actually want to throw this at you for a quick second. 877-710-ESPN. Let's say they don't make a move, and these players that you're talking about, that you mentioned, what's most important is not going to – you already have Corey Seager. You already have Mookie Betts. You already have Clayton Kershaw. Just get these guys back in. Are you comfortable with that? I mean, do you feel good about that? Because I do feel – that there is not a runaway winner right now in Major League Baseball. And maybe by the trade deadline, everything will now kind of shift and say, okay, well, that's the favorite, no question about it. But I don't think it's out of the ordinary to say 5, 6, 7 teams can win the World Series this year. And I feel like the Dodgers are kind of in that mix. A lot has changed since before the season started.
So it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And here's the answer to that question. And this is what we were talking about before the end of the last break. Here's why I feel really good about what you just said. Here's why I still think if they do nothing at the break, if they do nothing at the deadline, if they don't acquire a starting pitcher, if they don't go out and acquire
a closer,
whatever it might be, I still think that they're in a great spot, because here's the fact of the matter. Other than the very beginning of the season, the Dodgers have been kind of firing on half of their cylinders at best, right? They other than the first 2 weeks of the season, we're like, yep, here they go. They're going to win 110 games. They've been kind of fighting with one hand behind their back, whether it's because of injuries, whether it's because of performance, whether it's because the Padres and the Giants have played really well, and they're two games out of first place. They have the second best record in Major League Baseball. Cody Bellinger has basically been absent the entire year. Betts has missed a good portion or not been very good. Same thing with Seager. You've had Clayton Kershaw go down. Trevor Bauer is in legal limbo. We're just waiting to see what happens with him. And you could go ahead and stick a fork in that guy. He's never coming back. That's never coming back. We'll talk about that. And they're still too. So let's say everybody comes back, but only half of them perform at the level that you would expect them to. That's certainly worth two games. It certainly puts them on top of that division. And that's the division with the most wins in baseball, the most good teams. So, yeah, I still feel pretty – even with nothing else going down, Al, I still feel pretty good about them with the big exception of – or not an exception, but the caveat of – those guys do need to come back. This group where you're having McKinley and or McKinstry and McKinney sure. and yeah. Rayleigh and not Rex, happening. And mm-hmm. that's not going to work. You're going to need to get your guys back. But if you get them back, you're fine. Look at what Chris Taylor's doing. He's unbelievable. Sure. He hit two more yesterday. It feels like he hits one in every single game. Will Smith has come up with some big home runs in the last couple of weeks. Justin Turner is still giving you quality at-bat after quality at-bat. Despite all of this and everything that's gone wrong, they're two games out of the division lead. Everything has gone right for the Giants, and they're only two games up.
If I'll use Scherzer as the example here. If Scherzer ended up with the Giants or the Padres, would you still feel that way?
That would be interesting.
And that's the only reason why I bring it up, because yeah. I do feel like if you're the Giants and the Padres, you are aggressive. You do think that, wait a minute, maybe there is that opening that you didn't feel like was there back in March or back in April. It's more of an opening now than I think it was 3 months ago. So those teams might be ultra aggressive. And the way you kind of hesitated there, like, well, you add that person to that team, you get a little bit more nervous. That's why I feel like the Dodgers, they shouldn't just sit back. We'll see what ends up happening, but trade deadline on Friday.
Padres are the ones that really scare me. One more quick phone call here. Let's go to Chino this time. And Fernando. Fernando, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? This is Fernando and Chino. Just to piggyback off what you guys just said about the Dodgers needing to get Scherzer just to play the possession, man. If the Padres get him, dude, I think the Padres go to the World Series, to be honest, if the Padres could get Scherzer. If the Giants get Scherzer, I mean, that's another scary thing. The Dodgers won't be winning the World Championship. So in order, even though everything's been going bad for the Dodgers and they're still two games out, they need to take possession of Scherzer are one of the better players out there, just to make sure the Giants don't get away with it. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Thanks, appreciate you calling in.
First of all, it's unlikely that Scherzer goes anywhere. It seems very unlikely that he moves at all. So I think that piece doesn't scare me as much. But here's the thing. If he does go to Sandy, I don't know why, Al. You tell me how you feel about this. Mm-hmm. The Padres scare me much more than the Giants. When the Dodgers play the Giants, we're going to get to see them do it again tomorrow. It feels like the Dodgers are better than they are, right? It feels like the Dodgers have better players, more experience and all this stuff. I just get a good feeling about that. When they play the Padres, it's like, oh, boy. It just does not feel like the Dodgers match up great. The way the Padres run in particular, they run the Dodgers ragged on the bases. That's a matchup that I don't love for the Dodgers, whether Scherzer comes or not to San Diego.
It has more to do with star power. It has more to do with I think there's a aggressiveness that kind of a fearless the way the Padres play the Dodgers. They actually really feel like they can beat them, and that has something to do with too. You know, it's the psyche, or maybe not having enough. Sometimes you just don't know enough. You haven't been in a position where you've been making it to the postseason 5 years in a row. Padres almost don't know that position or situation. I know you could say, okay, well, Machado's been there. There's other players that have been there. Yu Darvish. But I almost feel that the Padres, they're not scared of the Dodgers. And maybe that's what you, when you say they scare me a little bit more, is because I think the Dodgers or the Padres, they don't look at the Dodgers as, oh my gosh, we have no shot here at all.
There's your Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right. Yet another name on the top of the Laker guards that they may go after. We're going to have to add it to a long list. We'll tell you who's on the top of it right now. It's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee at 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So a couple of updates, Al, on my taco guy. They have questions. You ready?
By the way, I don't blame them for it. If I'm a listener out there, I would want to sit with you for a half hour to kind of fully understand. I'd be taking notes too. Okay, so what did you do? How did this happen? What's some of the comments on Twitter?
This is a common one. This is from Orange Daddy 4, who says, Slee, what does Trav constitute as a halftime through the line? Francis in Glendale says, how does one get in the taco line two or two and a half times? It's not a football pick. You either went in line two or three times.
Okay. I think I could answer that for you.
Give it a shot. Yeah, go.
I think that, you know, a full time in line basically means you went through the whole thing. Okay? The beans, the rice, the tacos, the quesadilla, the roll. You went all the way through. Okay?
That's exactly right.
You did that twice.
That's exactly right.
The halftime was, I'm here specifically for an item or two. So then you went in. You might have skipped a couple of things.
Did we just become best friends?
Listen, you might have skipped a couple of things.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. You might have even cut somebody off because you said to them, hey, I'm not getting rice or beans. I'm just going in for the taco. Probably a little bit weird. That's what I think the halftime means.
That is exactly what happened. Yeah. I couldn't have described it any better myself. That is exactly what happened. Here's Dave in San Clemente, who says, when you start cornering the taco guy like you're trying to buy heroin, it's time to get some help. I mean, it's, I just wanted to know. I'm a planner. I like to be prepared. And I wanted to know how long he was going to stay there. So
Are you the guy where you get like the... the prepackaged when you're going golfing or in a tournament or something like that. You know, they prepackage mm-hmm. the box lunch.
Yeah.
And it's a sandwich, a cookie, and chips.
Yes. And
are you
apple,
like going
typically.
Back to them and saying, you know, hey, I don't like Lay's. Do you guys have Doritos? Or you got oatmeal raisin. You're like, anyway, I can get chocolate chip.
I hadn't considered it, but I might start doing it now. Now that you brought it up as an option. Travis and Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So, stop me if I forget somebody. This upcoming season, the Lakers are going to have Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball,
Bradley Beal,
Russell Westbrook. And now you can add Buddy Hield and Ricky Rubio to the list. That makes nine guys. The Lakers
and they
are
only
add
lost
nine guards.
Schroeder and KCP. That's all they lost.
There you go.
The numbers worked out.
My goodness. Every single guard in the NBA has been linked to the Lakers in the last two or three weeks. It's ridiculous. It's just so silly to me that this many players are mentioned when, honestly, of that list of nine, maybe one or two are a realistic possibility.
Well, the report yesterday, I thought actually this was interesting. You saw the report for Shams Charania of The Athletic says that the Kings and the Lakers are in talks for a trade for Kuzma and Buddy Hield. Let me kind of put it this way, Trav. You made this point last week when we were talking about the concept of going after a third player. It was actually when we were talking about Russell Westbrook. And I was trying to make the argument that they need a third all-star. And I have my reasons for it, and we could get into that as the show progresses. But you said that you need shooting. You need a guy that can just be a rifle shooter that is not afraid of the moment, can hit a lot of jumpers, high percentage from the three. You need a shooter, which, by the way, no one's going to argue that. And if what Shams is reporting, there's certain reporters, if you hear it from a Shams or a Woj, you really pay attention because, you know, you obviously know what their history is and their context are and everything else. If there's a trade to be had, Trav, where the Lakers got Buddy Hield and Kuzma's the center of the deal for the Lakers – tell me what are we doing? I mean, do you want to go, if you drive Kuz up, I'll go up first and grab Buddy Hield down. You know, tell me what the details are making that happen. I heard KCP would be a part of that deal as well. Fine. So, you know, KCP, a nice player for the Lakers. But those are kind of all no-brainers. And I think the question you start asking yourself is, okay, well, why would you do it if you're the Sacramento Kings? Are you just trying to get rid of that? Is he not happy up there? Do you feel like you got, you know, more assets that you can bring up there? But I don't even find myself zero hesitation. I don't think many people would about trying to figure out that portion of making it happen for the Lakers.
No, that one seems really easy. Like you said, I'll drive. You can pick them up and come back. They can control the radio. I won't say a word. I'll be the best Uber driver they've ever had. We'll do it in style. But to your point, why would Sacramento want to do that? Why would because to me, looking at it at the surface, it just feels like Sacramento gets a lot worse in that deal, and they're not very good to begin with. It healed is one of the few pieces they have that you probably feel pretty good about. Kyle Kuzma doesn't make them a better team. You know, KCP doesn't make them a better team. So I don't know what's in it for them. And that's what I mean. Every time we get one of these Laker deals that comes up, I say, okay, that sounds really good for the Lakers, but why would the other guy want to do that?
Here's what it could be. And by the way, you heard yesterday Woj and Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe did kind of a special free agency type of show. And you heard actually Woj say that he's heard KCP and Kyle Kuzma brought up in multiple deals with other teams. So the Lakers obviously trying to use their assets that they have, trying to figure out a way to improve that. Let's just say I don't think the Lakers are coming back with the same roster, and I think all signs are pointing towards that they don't feel that just coming back with the same team is good enough to go win an NBA championship. But I just kind of play off that the Kuzma and the KCP front. Sacramento's gone nowhere. Maybe they think, hey, we can get two position players. We can get two guys that have won an NBA championship. Maybe it's more of a locker room thing. Buddy Hield hasn't always clicked up there. That's the only thing that I could think of. But if you're the Lakers, again, if that's something that's got some meat to it. By the way, Trav, if you can go get that shooter that you're talking about with Buddy Hield, maybe then if Dennis Schroeder is one of those players that has to stay with the Lakers or they figure out a contract situation, your roster is better if you have Buddy Hield and you keep those guys from last year.
Let's try one very quick phone call right here. Let's go to Arcadia and Oscar. Oscar, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, hi, guys. Hope you guys have a nice weekend.
Thanks, Oscar.
Listen, thanks. Hey, Travis, I started laughing once you mentioned the Rubens and Cocos. Remember, I'm from Arcadia. You're talking about the one in the corner of Michelinda in Colorado.
Exactly.
I mean, close to there, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. You're so right. So you go to Coco's, it's like a Mary Callender's, something like that. And then they have a little hallway, and you walk in to Ruben's. It's kind of dark, You see a lot of older people, and they're waiting for the club to start. It's kind of weird. And
it was super about, weird.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll make it even more weird. One Thanksgiving, my mom and dad decided, let's change it up. Let's not have Thanksgiving here. We went to Ruben's
sure.
for Thanksgiving.
No, I get it.
I go,
I get it.
Killing me. So we sit there. The waitress, she's all dressed up, older ladies, all fixed up with long nails. I think she was waiting for the club to start. Thanksgiving. That was too weird, but you just brought the memories back, Travis. Thank you for that.
You got it, Oscar. No, it was Al. I want you to imagine you're having dinner at a coffee shop, and
yep.
then you walk down a hallway, and you walk into like some suburban version of Studio 54. That's what it was.
Can you hear the music from where you're sitting?
Oddly, no. They had like one of those heavy bar doors that you have to go through to get in, so you couldn't hear the music. But there were no windows to the outside, or they were tinted. It was the weirdest damn setup ever.
Okay, one more question. How late was the restaurant open? Because would you go to the other side, people eat or people drink or whatever? Now they'll end up at a Denny's or something. Do they just walk down the hallway and then they start ordering eggs and toast?
It's a great question. Keep in mind, I was like 13 when this place was. So I'm not quite sure that I thought it through like that. But yeah, as far as I can tell, that was an option that you could get it done. Had to wait two full days, Al, but it's finally here. Ask Slee is coming up next. It's Travis and Slee with 710 ESPN. All right, so we'll get to Astley in just one second. I just want to read this. This is a tweet from John Morosi, who covers Major League Baseball, a very plugged-in guy, that the Twins are discussing Jose Berrios with both the Dodgers and the Padres. So that's kind of that two-for-one deal that you were talking about, right, Al?
Yeah, that's just kind of pay attention to that. If the Padres, just as an example, were to get a player like that, okay, the Dodgers didn't get him, that's one thing, but now you have somebody that you could very, very well face just through the stretch of the season, but also obviously potentially in the postseason. So that's I think some of the danger with the Dodgers. You have a good enough team as is. They just all got to be healthy. But other teams think that there's an opportunity, and obviously the Padres and the Giants feel like they got a shot.
All right, here's Ryan with our first Ask Slee. In honor of my late father's birthday, has Slee ever uttered the phrase, better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it?
Not enough. Not enough. I that needs to get thrown into the repertoire there. Unfortunately, it does not. Trav, I could see you at home. I could see you like in the garage or something and you know, having extra this and extra that and telling your kids and them all kind of walking away like, it's why dad's organized. This is why dad is who he is.
When Ryan sent that this morning, I tweeted back at him, I bet you I say that to my kids at least 5 times a week. At least 5 times a week. And in particular, when we're going to baseball practice. Hey, you think better to need it or better to have it and not need it than to need it and not. Okay, fine, I'll put it in the bag every single day. So you're not wrong there. Ooh, let's do this. Let's do a phone Ask Slee.
Okay.
Let's go to Francis in Glendale. Francis, you are on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, party people. Quick question for Slee. What does Slee hate more? My LA Clippers having any sort of success or eating dinner after the sun has gone down?
Francis, by the way, we owe you. We owe Francis. Next time we ever do any event, Francis got to come to it. All right. I still kind of feel bad. Francis and Glendale wasn't a part of it. Hate the Clippers more or eating when after the sun goes down? This is actually closer than I thought because I don't know about you, Trev. When you have that late night, you know, decide at 11:30 at night, hey, let's just go ahead and eat like it's Thanksgiving, and then you wake up the next morning and you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Is this
the guy that you're going to be?
It's a food hangover. Instead of alcohol, it's just carbs and fat.
Yeah. I would rather have that feeling than the Clippers having success.
I agree,
Francis. I can deal with that. That kind of goes away after a couple of hours. The Clippers beating the Utah Jazz or something along those lines. That one hurt more.
All right, here comes John. John says, ooh, I like this one. What are your casual shoes for the weekends? Vans, Nike Monarchs, or Sirius Boats? Please confirm, hashtag Ask Slee. What are the casual weekend shoes?
Flip-flops? I mean, should we be wearing anything else? Just kind of for casual, we got nothing going on, flip-flops.
Flip-flops, okay. Let's say you're going to a party, but it's a casual party. You still going flip-flops, or are you going to put on something
more? I'll put on shoes. I'll put on either
Vans?
No, definitely
nice
not.
Nice Nike
Vans guy.
Slip-ons? What are we talking about?
I'll throw on some boots. You know, I got some kind of more casual, worn down, been wearing them for 2 years, probably should have been thrown away a little while ago. Wear some boots, maybe throw on some sneakers, you know.
All right, here's another one. This is from Walk Off, and Walk Off says, would you rather be shot in the arm or stabbed in the leg?
I don't understand these. Is that the same guy that does these?
Yes.
It's the same guy?
They're always where you're getting maimed in some capacity or another. You're either losing an arm or a leg, or you're blind or you're deaf, or now in this case, so, shot in the arm or stabbed in the leg.
So, but is that his thing? When he comes, okay, all right.
Let's get eyes on this guy, just making sure that he's not following Slee around somewhere.
Yeah, a little concerned with that one. I'm gonna go ahead and take a shot. I'd rather get shot in the arm than, bro, I can't do a knife like a knife.
But a knife feels like a couple of stitches and you're back at it. A shot in the arm, I mean, it could blow your shoulder off. It seems aggressive.
It seems like it would just happen so quick, my body wouldn't react to it. The knife, I don't know. I'm going to go with the shot. I'm going to stay with the shot.
I don't think that you're wrong. I think that might be the right answer. All right. Drew in L.A., does Corey Seager look like the kid in the neighborhood that always threatens to get his older brother? Hashtag Ask Slee.
No, I got more respect for Seager. Seager looks like a guy that says, you know what, let's just, if we got to go, we got to go.
Don't make me go get Kyle. He plays for the Mariners, you know. I'll go get him right now. He's right over there. Don't leave me alone. Kyle, they're picking on me again. I don't know. Kind of looks like it.
Seager, I didn't know you had a Seager voice, but your Seager voice was very much your voice. Not really much change there.
So here's the thing. Corey Seager doesn't say much, right? How many times have you seen Corey Seager interviewed? Very infrequently. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say much at all. So I'm thinking that I feel like he'd have a Travis voice. I feel like that could happen. You know, we'll never know, I guess, right? All right, here's one more.
That quiet guy in the neighborhood, that's the one that could That could be the dangerous guy. That could be the guy that says, if something goes down, I'm going down with the ship.
Big John writes, I'm not sure if today is an Ask Slee Day. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, John. That's your Ask Slee Days. But I was wondering, when Slee was a ping pong hustler, did he have a jewel-encrusted case for his paddles, and were there groupies? And did you have a walk-up song as you approached the table?
Very good question. All those are good questions. When I was 17 years old and I was hustling 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds at the local Kennedy Recreation Center in El Cajon, no, doesn't matter the paddle. Give me any paddle. You know, that's how I was walking up to that thing.
So all the rec centers that I've ever been to, the equipment is usually kind of beat up, right?
Just demolished. Except the guy who ran the place, I remember he had like a paddle in his drawer.
So
like
it was his.
It never got used. And I'm like, every time, you know, we'd go out, we'd play each other. It's like, I'm at a disadvantage right out the gate. This guy brings his own paddle as if we're in the Olympics.
Were you like Roy Hobbs and you found a tree that was struck by lightning and you formed your own paddle out of the wood from the lightning struck tree, then etched a Sliwa boy on the side of it?
I was using cracked ping pong balls as an advantage. I was using the net kind of slacking to my advantage as well. Any advantage you can get, Trev.
Perfect. John writes, when it rains in L.A., do you use an umbrella or do you just use a hoodie like a real OG? Hashtag Ask Slee.
God dang it. I think I use an umbrella.
Are you really?
Well, here's the thing. If we're walking, because this is when we use the umbrella – LA Live, remember where we would park and it's pouring rain and you got to go through that little, you got to use an umbrella.
Between the hotel and the Microsoft Theater.
Yeah, and I'm not wearing a hoodie as I'm coming into work. Now, if I'm going for a walk outside and it's like I don't have to be anywhere or look anything, a hoodie will definitely get the job done.
So I did.
Do you ever get the umbrella when you have that wind tunnel there where it just
turns it inside out?
Unbelievable. I'm always such an idiot, and it happens every time.
Tell me if this is just me. Maybe this is just me being insecure in my own deal. I always feel a little dainty when I'm carrying an umbrella. I always feel a little
bit. I get it.
Like, you know, it's just water. You could get wet for 5 minutes. It's not going to kill you. I feel like I'm acting a little special when I break open the umbrella, but I do. I am an umbrella guy.
Well, I'm with you on the you just feel a certain way. Right. And then like walking next to you could be a kid without an umbrella. And I'm like, what are you doing, Al? What are you doing?
All right. One more. This is good for a variety. I like the question and I like that it's a new name. This is from Mikey Sath. Mikey writes, hashtag Ask Slee. Men's room is occupied. You've got to go. An elderly lady is 20 feet away heading towards the women's restroom. But again, you've really got to go.
Yeah.
Are you cutting the old lady and using the women's restroom?
Got to wait. Got to wait, buddy. You just got to wait. You know, you'll figure it out. Everything will be fine. You just got to wait your turn. Nothing you could do.
That's the wrong decision because sometimes you don't have time to wait. Sometimes it's not up to you. Sometimes the body gives you that 30-second warning like, hey, you got
it's
about
true,
30
but I
seconds.
Can't, I can't do the walking out of the restroom and she's waiting there. Like, I can't do that.
I've done it. I don't know if I've ever jumped the line in front of a waiting lady, but I've gone into that one more than once and come. And when I'm on my way out, it's like, I'm really sorry. It was an emergency. I'm sorry. And then just very quickly head for the door.
If there's nobody there and nobody's waiting, that's one thing. But if – no, I can't do it. Just can't do it.
Well, we were so close with the taco thing,
and
now we're on opposite ends of the spectrum again. All right, more on the Lakers and what they need to do. We're going to talk about just the simplest thing in the world, Al. Is there enough talent on this Laker roster? That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.